What's up, Rock family? God bless you and welcome to the Rock Church. My name is Travis. I'm one of the pastors on the leadership team, and I want to say hello to all of our campuses. What's up, Rock Church, Oahu, Chula Vista, City Heights, El Cajon, San Marcos, Point Loma here in the room, and everybody joining us online and watching at a later date. Welcome to church. God bless you. Why don't you clap your hands, greet one another. Thankful that Jesus got you here today. I love the video. I think I heard it earlier. Over 400 students made a decision to trust Jesus with their life. Come on, can we just thank God for that? That's incredible. It's all worth it. So I still have my wristband on from the week. I heard this was the wristband they gave the counselors. I was not a counselor. Let me just say, I just want to be honest with you. They gave this to me though. So I just wanted to celebrate what God did. Over 400 decisions. We had counselors that were there. People gave to it. You put out flyers at your workplaces. You've been praying for the students. You served to all of our student pastors and all the parents and students that went. Come on, clap your hands. Just thank God and just show some appreciation. Celebrate what God did. It was awesome. Incredible. Also today, happening after this service at all locations, is Baptism Sunday. All those that are saying, I'm going public with my faith, we're so excited for you, can't wait to celebrate with you. And if you want to get baptized, and really, that's the first response of the believer. If you put your trust in Jesus, the first response, I need to go get baptized and go public with my faith and tell my friends and family in front of God that this is now my new life. And so if you can do that today, if you haven't registered, you can show up there. We got a shirt for you. I think we even have shorts. We got a towel, and we don't got hair nets or nothing like that. But anyways, we got some stuff for you. If you want to do that, you can go public with your faith today. We're in our seventh week of our series entitled, We Need to Talk. Everybody say, We Need to Talk. We need to talk about a few things. And here's how we got here. We surveyed the church earlier and said, hey, what are some of the issues that you want to hear about in God's word? What do you want God to say about these issues and topics? What are you dealing with and struggling with? And you said forgiveness. And so we're going to talk about forgiveness in a couple of weeks. You said we want to talk about this idea of success and wealth. We're going to talk about that in a couple of weeks. You said, I want to know about my purpose, my direction. We did that earlier. You said, I want to talk about marriage and relationships. So we did a few weeks on that. But at the very top of the list, again, was anxiety and depression. And so this is the second week that I'm doing on anxiety and depression. And we're taking it serious. It's a serious topic. And we have resources available to you. In fact, you can go get all of those and the three messages that were done last year. There's steps on how did I get here? How do I step out of this pit that I'm in? And then a conversation with a counselor. All of that is available to you. Books, resources, a book called Putting an X Through Anxiety, Stepping Out of the Cave. Those are available to you. You can text the letters WNTT to 52525. Stands for We Need to Talk. You can get all of those resources. There's a stress test. We just really want to equip you. It's a serious issue. We realize that, man, people are struggling with this. And maybe you have anxiety, or maybe you have depression because of your financial situation, or there was a job loss. And I talk to people all the time about just what they experience with their families. Maybe you recently lost a loved one, or you just lost a close friend, or something happened with a neighbor. You could be just feeling overwhelmed because of your relationship status with your spouse. There's tension, there's, you know, divorce, there's words of talking about separation, maybe a breakup. Someone cheated, someone did something devastating and just kind of ruined the whole thing, and now you're just overwhelmed with anxiety. I'm sinking in depression. Maybe you're worried about our future as a country because you watched the debate this week and you're like, oh brother, where are we going? Just don't know what to think. I don't know. There's many reasons that you can be overwhelmed, and the devil would love to have you think that your world and our world is hopeless. But I came last week to encourage you that even in a world that has you looking down, you can still look up and hope again. That we serve a God that is bigger. We serve a God that is greater. He is bigger and greater than whatever it is that's making you feel anxious and depressed. That's the good news. Here's the bad news. People aren't going to God. They're sitting in that depression. And they're going to their problem, and they're sitting with it and holding on to it. I found an article that the USA Today did back in March this year, and they surveyed and looked at the 50 states in our country and said, well, which states are the worst at dealing with anxiety and depression? Number one was Hawaii. Number three is California. And California's number one if you just look at the amount of people that aren't dealing with their anxiety and depression. We have a campus in Oahu, and here we are in California. And maybe you're watching from a different state. You're like, where am I in my state? We're 48. We're not that bad. Whew, man, but California, not dealing with stuff. Either way, everybody's dealing with something. Everybody's got weight on them, and they're not going to God with their issues, their problems, their stress, their anxiety. What are we doing? We're pretending we're okay. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. That's how we walk in, knowing that you got to go home to a whole world full of tension and drama and pain. God's good. Some of us are just pretending. Some of us are distracting ourselves by binge watching your favorite shows, series from one to the next. I just want to pretend it's not there. You're soothing by drinking. You're coping with alcohol. You're coping with drug abuse or drug addiction or pornography. Maybe some of you are living a double life in one of our campuses, and that's your story, that in the daytime, it's all good, but at night you go home and you just lose it on your family. You just yell at your kids, and you're yelling at your neighbors, you're yelling at your spouse, and it's just this double life. And so first, we got to acknowledge this is a real issue, and I feel like we've done that. We're giving it the appropriate amount of attention without giving it too much credit. But also, we got to, number two, go to God. We got to go to God because God is the one that reminds us, and he's telling me this all the time, that anxiety and depression are not a label, they're not your identity, but it is a signal that something's off. Something's off, and we're off track, and I have no peace. I'm going the wrong direction. And so the question that I want to try to answer in the next 20-something minutes for you and for our campuses and everybody joining us is, how do we get back on track? When I'm stressed out, I'm worried, and I'm overwhelmed, what's the secret to keeping in line with God and keeping in line with his peace? And there's a man named Paul, who becomes the Apostle Paul, and he's a really prolific New Testament writer in the Bible. And he gives us this verse in Philippians 4. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but instead, in every situation, pray. He says, I want you to go to God in prayer. That's the secret. Don't be anxious about anything, but instead, here it is, pray about everything. And so the title of my message, if you like titles, is The Secret to Finding Peace. Why don't you pray with me and we'll jump into God's word together even more. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for all of our campuses. And we're wrestling with this topic today that we need to talk through of anxiety and depression. So Lord, Holy Spirit, would you lead us away from anxiety and out of depression and towards your perfect peace, your son Jesus. And it's his name we pray, amen. My son, who's gonna be 7 in August, his birthday's coming up. Although last year, the day after his birthday, he said, Dad, what are we doing for my birthday next year? And so like, that's just kind of where their minds go. I'm like, bro, we're still paying off this year, so hold on. But his mind's like, what are we doing? And so his mind is on, my birthday's coming up, what's happening, what are we doing? Vanessa and I, what we like to do on the morning when they wake up is have balloons ready, just something simple. It's not expensive, but we'll have balloons and maybe some banners in the living room. And so when they come out, they see it, they feel good about it. And last year, I went and got one of those, you can buy that your own helium tank. Anybody with me on that one? You've been there, you've done that, you've been to Target or wherever, and you get that little helium tank. That's not the good helium, I found out. It's not the best. And I got the cheap balloons, whatever it was off the rack. And so I'm in the garage and I'm trying to, you know, do it discreetly for my son who's sleeping now. And I'm doing the balloons and the helium, and I just couldn't figure it out. And it, you know, it's going everywhere. And I'm blowing them too big and they're popping. And then I wasn't putting enough and they're deflating. And I think that's a really good picture of some of us in our lives with anxiety and depression and the fragility of some of the issues. Our career life and our dating life. Finding our identity, our life with our kids, our school life, my marriage and my faith and my health, my finances, my appearance, and all these things that make up our world, and they're so delicate and so fragile. And if there's too much tension and too much pressure, we pop. But if there's not enough life and breath and air in us by the Spirit of God, we sink down and we deflate. And I think it's a lot of us when we deal with anxiety and depression. And I believe the Apostle Paul could really identify with this subject. His goal as someone who was teaching and preaching about Jesus was to reach his modern world, which would be Rome. That was the center of life and technology and all things that were happening. He wanted to go preach the gospel there. But because of his preaching and because of his demonstration of God's power, he was constantly being beaten. He was regularly being stoned. He's thrown into prison over and over. He's shackled and chained. And his circumstances, if we looked at him from a distance, would say, man, Paul is just constantly living in a life of suffering. He's always in pain. He's always living hopeless. So much pain and pressure. Shouldn't he be bursting with anxiety? And so much lack of hope and so much deep sadness. Shouldn't he be deflating in depression? But on one occasion, while waiting in prison, waiting on his sentencing, he writes this in Philippians chapter 4, which really is a letter that he writes to a church to encourage them from prison. And here's what he writes in Philippians chapter 4. If you've got your Bibles with you, I'm reading out of the NIV Bible. And if you don't have it with you, we'll put that up on the screen. But Philippians chapter 4, and I start in verse 4, and I'm going to read through verse 13. Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by what? By prayer and petition, which is prayer. And with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends and is beyond all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's gonna guard your heart and your feel good, your emotions. It's gonna guard your mind, my thoughts, where I've just been going crazy lately and I got all these lies from the devil. But no. If I pray, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly. If you keep reading, it says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. He's like, hello, it's about time, I've been in prison. And so he's writing to him, I heard that you've been thinking about me. At last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. In verse 11, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance. You know what that word content means? Peace. I've learned what it means to have peace. He said, I've learned to be content whatever the circumstance. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, or with anxiety and depression, I can do all this through him, that's Jesus, who gives me strength. So Paul says, I can do all of that. I can rejoice in the Lord always, and I can say it again, rejoice. I can be kind and gentle, even on my worst day, in my worst moment. I can be meditating on good things and excellent things and praiseworthy things, whether I have food or I'm starving, whether I have money or I'm broke, whether I'm in a deep pit of hopelessness. I have learned the secret of contentment. I've learned the secret of being content with peace in all situations, whether I'm overwhelmed or I'm being crushed, when my life feels fragile. And if my kids say one more thing, I will lose my mind. If I get one more family member asking me if I'm still single, I'm gonna choke them out. I'm ready to pop and deflate all at the same time. But Paul says, yeah, even there, San Marcos, even there, even in that situation, in your worst moment, he's learned the secret of finding peace and contentment in every situation. And it starts in verse 6. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Present your request to God. So Paul doesn't start with contentment and end with prayer. Paul prays, then finds contentment and peace. See, Paul knows the power of praying first. I want you to write this down in your notes. If you take notes, write, prayer must be our first response and not our last resort. Prayer's gotta be the steering wheel, not the spare tire. I mean, there's lots of ways to say it. In fact, this is one of our values as a church. It's on the walls in our campuses, that prayer is our priority. We gotta pray first. Someone shout, pray first. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, you better pray first. I'm serious. We wanna pray first. It's our first response, not our last resort. When I'm falling apart and when I got it all together, it's all good because I was already praying first. When I had no money and when I have all the money, I was already praying first. When he broke up with me, and when he finally asked to marry me, I was good either way because I was already praying first. It doesn't matter the situation. I have got the secret to peace, and it starts by praying first. I'm not waiting to pray like Paul. I can't wait to pray. And so prayer is our first response, not our last resort. I want to make it real practical for you today. So I'm going to give you five reasons we pray first and then a prayer that leads to peace for every single one of them. Here's the first thing. Write this down. Prayer replaces worry. Prayer replaces worry. And the prayer is this: God, take my worry. It's real simple. But what a great tool to have that I can walk out of here today and I can just say, God, take my worry. Because I know that prayer replaces my worry. In Luke 12, verse 25, it says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Matthew 6, 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Hello, each day has enough trouble of its own. Come on, somebody. I got enough today. Why should I even think about tomorrow? Tomorrow's troubles are tomorrow's troubles. So why am I tripping on today's troubles? What am I worried about? Why am I just so consumed with my worry? I'm just going to pray instead, because prayer replaces worry. God, take my worry. I remember bringing home my daughter, Anaya. She's going to be 9 soon. But when we brought her home, our first child, that kind of panic that set in when we're walking out of the hospital and I have her in the little bassinet that you click into the car seat, and the nurse just left us. And I said, aren't you going to get in the car with us? We're going home. Where are you going? And she's like, y'all are going home. And I'm like, we're going home. That was the slowest drive I ever had on the 805 freeway. Just like, everybody can go around me. Caution lights. Go around me. I don't care. Just waving at me with the wrong finger. Go around, bro. Go around. Got my daughter here. Precious cargo, bro. And then we got home. And then sleeping at night. Are you kidding me? I was the swaddle master. I was the swaddle thug. I was the swaddle gangster. I was just like all wrapped up. And then I found the Velcro swaddle and she couldn't get nowhere. No hands were coming out, nothing. I was like, no, you're just going to sit there and chill and be good and breathe. So as a parent, any parents with me, your first child, remember that? It was like everything was bubble wrapped. Everything was bubble wrapped. Nothing sharp in the house. Second child, you're good, bro. Get up. You're going to be all right. Found out with the first child, they're pretty flexible. Get up, bro. So worried. Here's what God showed me. What you and I worry about the most reveals often where we trust God the least. It's like, man, I'm just so consumed with this thing. I'm so worried with it. And God's saying, that right there is where you trust me the least. And so I want you to think about, what are you worried about the most today? What did you walk in with today? And you just said, God, no, you can't have that. There's no way that you could fix that. There's no way that you're going to meet this need. And God said, yeah, I can meet that need. I want to take that worry from you. I want you to trust me with this, because if I take out worry, I have room for joy. If my prayer to replace my worry is there, then I have room for hope. If I take out worry, I have room for the peace of God. And so don't be filled with worry. We're going to pray first and say, Lord Jesus, take my worry. Here's the second thing that prayer does. Number two, prayer releases control. Prayer releases control. And the prayer sounds like this: God, I surrender control. I give you the outcome and the process. Because some of you are like, yeah, he can have the outcome. But I'm messing up the process. Or God, you can have the process, but you better guarantee the outcome. But I'm worried and I'm stressed and I got anxiousness about how I'm going to get that money situation there. But the person that prays first knows the power of prayer leads you to finding peace. And so I'm going to release control. God, I surrender control. Philippians 4:6, in our passage, Paul says, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. It's like, God, here you go. I'm going to present it to you. You got to take it from me. I've been holding it, but I'm going to release control. I'm going to present it to you. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. I wonder if Peter, as he's writing this, 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on the Lord, is writing that as a fisherman who at one point in his life wasn't catching fish. And Jesus shows up and says, Peter, you've been doing it your way. I want you to take your net and cast it on my way, because my way is better. I don't know if we got any fishermen, any fisherwomen in the house today, one of our campuses. Okay, not a whole lot. That's all right. No big deal. I wasn't a big fisherman, and my dad's right there, and he would take me out. We'd go in the boat. I love to cast. wasn't big on the fish, but I just loved the cast. You know, just and then reel it back real quick and cast it again. Super fun. I was a kid. I saw a video recently. These two guys were on a boat and they're fishing, and one guy has his reel in the water, and another guy is taking his fishing rod back. And there's a big old lure on the end of it with like multiple hooks. You know, see those big ones with the hooks? And as he goes back to cast his fishing pole, the lure attached itself to the other guy's neck. Sorry, should have given you a spoiler alert about that one. It was a little caution warning, a little gruesome. But it was like, bow, right to the neck. Ooh, and then what's crazy is the guy that had it stuck in his neck, he kept on fishing. Yeah. And he goes, I'm not gonna look back, but just tell me, is it bad? I'm like, bro, it's horrible. Like, it's like multiple hooks on your neck right now. He kept fishing. He said, don't touch it. Almost to say, as long as I know where it's at and I'm still in pain, I'd rather just leave it alone. I think a lot of us in our anxiety and depression go, well, as long as I can control it, as long as I can manage it, I don't want to fix the issue. I don't want to give it to God. I don't want to release control because I know how to manage it with medicine. I know how to manage it with alcohol. I can deal with it at night. I go and watch porn. I feel better about my marriage. I go and I figure it out at work and I lie. And I know it's not perfect, but I'd rather just manage it, control the situation. I don't want to give it to God, but no, we got to get rid of it. Give it to God. Get rid of that thing because it can't be God's problem and your problem all at the same time. You can't say, Jesus, take the wheel, but I'm going to be in the passenger seat just leaning over every now and then. Go left, Jesus. You can't do that. In prayer, I fully release control to God. He takes it. I cast all my anxiety on the Lord. Why? Because he cares for you and he gets it and he can do something about it. Don't get stuck in the anxiety panic loop of I'm anxious. I want to control things. Oh no, I'm losing control. I'm anxious even more. Maybe I should pray. Maybe you should have prayed before. Had you prayed first, maybe you wouldn't be here. And in prayer, I release control. Stop the cycle before it begins. Jesus, I surrender control. Here's the third thing why we pray and the prayer that leads to peace. Number three, prayer regulates my thinking. And the prayer sounds like, God, change my thoughts. Change my thoughts because they've been so dark and they've been so down. And I'm just vomiting death. The scriptures tell us that death and life is in the tongue. And I've just been speaking death over my life and speaking death over my situation. I'm the worst. I'm confused about who I am. My kids are just horrible and they're not like the other neighbor's kids and they got the best kids. And my dating life, another guy doesn't want to show up again. Another person broke my heart. My school, they're not going to accept me into that university. School's terrible. All the kids hate me. My faith doesn't look like other people's faith. My marriage is the worst. I'm pretending. Everybody knows I'm faking my marriage. My career, I have no idea what I'm doing. What am I? Everybody else makes more money than me. Everyone has a better situation. And your words are just tearing yourself down and sinking further and further into anxiety and depression. But prayer can do something about your thoughts. Philippians 4:8, Paul says, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, I want you to think about those things. And so it's not even is my glass half full perspective or is my glass half empty perspective. With Jesus, my glass is full and overflowing. I do something about my thoughts. I love Colossians 3:2. It says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. I'm gonna take my mind and put it in heaven. When I wake up in the morning, my phone's over here. The alarm goes off. I get the alarm. And the very first thing I do is I go to God's word. But I've set it up that way. Something like I'm just so much holier than you and I got so much discipline and you're not disciplined. Everybody should be like me and be disciplined and read the word. I've set up my phone in such a way that there's a widget at the top, which means all I've done is put the verse of the day. And I'm gonna get more later, but I gotta get the very first thing is this verse of the day on my mind and heart. And so I go there before the email. I go there before all the 500 red dots that are popping up and making me do this, whether it's on my phone and just email and who's texting me and who's complaining to me and what emergency I gotta put out and your kid's thing's not ready. And before I look at the weather, before I look at the news and the traffic, I'm very first thing I'm doing is I wanna get God's word in my mind. And that's really what prayer is. But prayer isn't God coming down to us. It's you and I going up to him. Say, God, I'm gonna take my mind and place it on your mind. I love the prophet Isaiah. He says, as far as the heavens are above the earth, are God's ways and God's thoughts above ours. And so God, I'm gonna pray, Lord, change my thoughts. I've just been speaking death, but help me to change my mind the things I'm saying. I wanna put my mind on things above. Prayer can do something about the anxiety and depression. I'm not letting Instagram inform me and trigger me or email, anything else. Paul says the secret to finding peace is prayer. And so Lord, I'm gonna pray that take my worry, replace my worry. God, I'm releasing control. God, change my thoughts. Here's number four, prayer rebukes the enemy. That's the fourth reason why we pray. And it sounds like this, if you wanna pray, I rebuke the devil in Jesus' name. For some of you, that's why you came to church today. Because you just been playing defense with someone in Chula Vista or Oahu or someone online, and you just been running from the pain and running away from anxiety and depression. But God has given us an opportunity to play some offense against anxiety and depression. What a powerful prayer. I rebuke the devil in Jesus' name. Well, how do I do that? Jesus said in Luke 10, 17 to 19, well, his disciples said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Jesus replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing, not anxiety nor depression, will harm you. It's incredible. What a verse. Clap your hands and give God praise. A buddy of mine is a pastor at a church in Atlanta, and about an hour or so away or more is Augusta, Georgia. And every year during the Masters, everyone in Augusta or near Atlanta, they're all trying to get tickets. And he didn't have tickets. It's really exclusive, and you got to get into a pool. And if you're a golf fan, you know what the Masters is. It's one of the biggest tournaments every year. They give out the green jacket. And so as a pastor, you know, he works on Sunday. He's got to change his schedule if he wants to go anyways. But he made the drive out to Augusta, Georgia, him and a buddy. And they drove by the wall because they have it blocked off. Magnolia Lane's a special drive to get there. And he takes his phone out, and as he's driving, he kind of just like this. He posted that clip on Instagram, and four people from his church reached out and said, hey, we have tickets if you'd like to go. Yes, I'd like to go. One of them was for a VIP package. Come on, right? Come on, man. I already told them all, bro, help a brother out. I'm in the same thing with you. I'd love to go. Move my schedule. We'll make it work. Well, him and his wife go to this VIP experience on Sunday to the Masters. Can't believe it. And they're already thinking, well, VIP comes with great parking. Of course it does. VIP comes with probably some food and kind of, you know, good seats. And when you go to the Masters, they don't allow you to have cell phones. All the other tournaments in the world, you can get your cell phone out, bring it out, record Tiger Woods, whatever. At the Masters, there's no cell phones. In fact, if you don't leave it in the car, they'll put it in a locker, or if you don't have it in a locker or your car, they'll kick you out. It's exclusive. And all of the members that are a part of the Augusta National Golf Course have to volunteer their time during the Masters tournament. They wear their own green jacket. And so my buddy and his wife go to the tournament, and they start walking up. There's the free parking, super good parking. They go to this private area. They had a special putting green, a little mini one for the guests to practice with whatever putter you wanted and all the golf balls that the players use. And that's the one Tiger Woods, that's the one that this guy uses and this guy. And oh my God, they're using it. And then they invite him to the tent. Here's the tent. They start walking up to the tent. And who is there greeting them wearing a jacket? Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning is volunteering as a member. And he goes, hey, welcome to the Masters. What can I get you to drink? What can I get you to drink? You're Peyton Manning. Like, no, I'm here to serve you and get you snacks. I'm here to get you food and have the VIP experience. They were the only ones. It's just them and Peyton Manning talking about golf, talking about their golf swing. VIP exclusive access. Jesus, here's the point. Jesus has given you and I VIP exclusive authority and access to all power in heaven, on earth, and above to trample on scorpions and demons and tell Satan, you got to get away from my life. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you in Jesus' name. No anxiety, no depression, no devil, no demon, no scorpion, no lion, hell can come against my life and my family. Why? Because I've been given the power and the authority that's in Jesus' name. Come on, if you believe that, clap your hands and give God praise. He's given you great power. Prayer rebukes the enemy. I rebuke you, devil, in Jesus' name. Here's the last thing, number five. Reason why I pray. Prayer renews my strength. And the prayer is real simple. Jesus, strengthen me because I feel so weak. I don't feel like I can keep going. I don't have it. And Paul finishes the middle part of that passage we read in Philippians 4, his letter to this church in Philippi. He says, I can do all of this. The peace that I have and the secret to my contentment through him who gives me strength. Who's him? It's Jesus. Jesus gives you strength. Look up here. Jesus is your strength. Jesus gives you strength. And Jesus is your strength. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, same guy, Paul, says, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak and overwhelmed, that's when I'm strong. And so I don't know what you've been through. I don't know your story exactly. I don't know what kind of pain you've been experiencing, but I have a feeling that it's in one of these areas or maybe something else, but you're feeling the weight of the world and you're crushed. But there's hope for you. And there's peace, the secret of finding peace is in prayer. I was encouraged by this photo. I'll show it to you. This is from a ministry called God Behind Bars. And these inmates who have a sentence, maybe a life sentence, maybe 10 years, 1 year, I don't know. But they've decided in the middle of their stuff and their fragile lives and their uncertain future and their regret from their past, they made a war room in a closet in the prison. They said, we're gonna pray. We're not gonna wait till I get out and everything gets better to pray. No, we're gonna pray now. Because prayer's gotta be our very first response, not our last resort. And so they've made this war room. It says, inmates created a war room inside prison for prayer. And so every day they're in there waging war against the devil. They're saying, Lord, we believe that there's power in prayer. We're not gonna be anxious. I'm not gonna be overwhelmed or sit in depression. I'm gonna pray. And I believe that the peace of God that is beyond my mind and understanding will guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. And you too can do the same thing and say, Lord, I'm gonna pray. And no matter what happens to my career and I lose my job or he dumps me again, or my finances disappear and I go bankrupt, or the marriage ends in divorce, or my faith is fake and I barely got here to church today, or I got the cancer diagnosis, I got declined by another school, I have no purpose, I'm confused about my identity and my kids. It's been so hard. But you know what? I've been praying. And so while all of that is going on, I don't have to sit in anxiety. Because I read Philippians 4 today. And I know that the peace of God that is beyond what even makes sense to me is protecting my heart and protecting my mind in Christ Jesus. I'm not waiting to pray. I can't wait to pray. I'm gonna pray first and believe that God can change my situation. And so Lord, we're releasing control to you today. We're saying, Lord, through prayer, take my worry. God, change my mind and my thoughts. I rebuke the devil in Jesus' name, and Jesus, give us strength today. Why don't you put your hands out? Why don't you close your eyes, bow your heads at all of our campuses, just in a posture to receive a blessing today. I wanna pray something over you. Lord Jesus, thank you for this moment. Thank you for this time together as a family, as a church. And in the midst of all the pain that's in the room and our campuses and online and those that are watching later because they've been searching on YouTube or somewhere else because they're dealing with anxiety and depression and they found this message, God, I pray that they would know today, every single person under the sound of my words, that they can receive peace from you. And so Lord, right now we just speak that. Peace, shalom of heaven. On every single person. Holy Spirit, fill us fresh today. We receive it brand new and we release our control. We release our worry. Lord, change our minds, our thinking. Help us to defeat the work and lie of the devil. And Jesus, strengthen us brand new. We receive your peace right now. We receive it, God. As your eyes are all closed and every head is bowed, if you need to just make a decision today to begin that relationship with the author and perfecter of our faith, who is the Prince of Peace. His name is Jesus. If you need to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ today, I want you to pray this in the stillness of your heart. Just say, dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner. I admit that I need you. I admit that I'm broken today, but I believe that you love me. And I believe that you died for my sin and you've forgiven me. And so I confess you as my Lord. Come into my life. Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, give me a new heart. Give me a new mind. Give me a new future. Strengthen me right now. I love you. As everybody's heads are bowed, your eyes are closed across all of our locations across the Rock Church, I'm gonna count to three, and on the count of three, I want you just in all your boldness and courage to shoot your hand up just as a statement of faith saying, today is a day where my life is in the hands of Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith, the Prince of Peace. On the count of three, hands going up, one, two, three. Shoot your hand up nice and high. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. That's awesome. God bless you, we see you all across the room. God bless you, God bless you. We see you in the back, awesome. Why don't you put your hand down? Lord, thank you for those decisions today to trust you, to give their life to you. Holy Spirit, would you just fall fresh on them right now with peace that is beyond our understanding. And so we bless them and we thank you for loving us and living and dying for our salvation. And so one day we'll be in perfect peace with you. Until then, God, we celebrate you. We speak your name over our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody shouted amen. Amen. Come on, let's give Jesus some praise, family. Come on. Hallelujah.